You're listening to eDirus.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. صدق الله العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, inshallah, just to continue from where we had left off in the last session, bifazlillahi ta'ala, we completed the first portion of tashahhud. And just to quickly recap, the words attahiyyatu lillah, wassalawat, and wattayyibat. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi has explained that attahiyyat is the royal greetings that you submit in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like when a person enters the court of a king, he will greet him by certain words like Your Royal Majesty, Your Royal Highness. And attahiyyat means all greetings belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Scholars have even mentioned that greetings also include, generally, there are three avenues for a person to accumulate a lot of good deeds. And the first one is by tongue. That by your tongue you can praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can recite the Quran, you do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the word attahiyyat also includes every form of worship that a person carries out by the tongue that Allah has given him verbally. And then the words wattayyibat, wassalawat. Wassalawat means your salah, your prayers. And it also means that the act of worship that you perform physically, by the physical body. And so attahiyyatu lillah, wassalawat, wattayyibat. The third category is by the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Tayyibat means everything that is pure, everything that is beautiful, which also includes the wealth that Allah has given you. And when you spend that in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will bring you very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so all of these three avenues of good deeds are recorded in your tashahhud, in attahiyyat. Thereafter, alhamdulillah, this was covered at length in the last session, so just to quickly recap. Thereafter, we send greetings to Hazrat Nabiyye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. And remember, As-salam is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very unique. It doesn't just mean peace, it means peace and safety. Peace and safety. And so, salam be upon our beloved Nabi. Salam be upon our beloved Nabi. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan Nabi. Wa rahmatullah, and the mercy of Allah. Wa barakatuhu, and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so here the tartib has been explained that the first thing is to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then again thereafter sending peace, salam upon Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then after sending salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we begin by connecting the salam that is given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the salam should also be given to the people of this ummah. And it begins by yourself first. And so what we say is, As-salamu alayna. As-salamu alayna. And remember that the tashahud that we are covering is the tashahud that is narrated by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala. And there are many tashahuds that are mentioned in the ahadith, but specifically we are covering the tashahud of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala. And generally this is the tashahud that is taught to the children also in the madaris, in the makatib. So as-salamu alayna means that Allah, like how peace is given to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, open your doors of peace and safety upon us also. So what are we to say? As-salamu alayna. Again, it's in a plural form to remind us that we are never to be selfish when we make dua. But the usul is, scholars have mentioned, because even by saying as-salamu alayna, it includes yourself first. It includes yourself first. So the first thing you have to do, all of us, is make dua for ourselves first. Make dua for yourself first, and then make dua for others from amongst the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An example that can be given is when you're traveling by plane, very often you hear this announcement that in case there is low pressure in the cabin, then the masks will fall automatically. And so put on your mask first before assisting the person that is to your right or to your left. You've heard that? Yeah. So the first thing you have to do is put on the mask for yourself. If you don't help yourself, then it might be too late to even help somebody else. And so if you throw yourself in a swimming pool, make sure you know how to swim first before rescuing somebody else. Otherwise there's two people to rescue. And so what Sharia is telling you is that first make dua for yourself. That is why this is the tartib in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ku anfusakum. That, O people of Iman, first save yourselves. Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum. And then save your family members. Organize yourself first, and then thereafter those that are related to you. This is the tartib. So we say, As-salamu alayna. Salamati ho hamare upar bhi. Peace be upon us also. And subhanallah, how comprehensive is this tashahud, this prophetic supplication, dua. There is no end to this. There is no end to this. As-salamu alayna includes every single one of us, but then thereafter in the hadith it is mentioned, وَعَلَىٰ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الصَّالِحِينَ وَعَلَىٰ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الصَّالِحِينَ, and also to your servants that are pious, that are righteous. عِبَاد is generally in connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Arabic language, and abid is generally in connection to the people. And so here we see a special mentioning of the pious people. وَعَلَىٰ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الصَّالِحِينَ. What is the reason for that? Already by saying As-salamu alayna, and Allah, may your peace and safety be upon us, that generally includes the entire ummah, including yourself. But then Allah makes a special mentioning of Ibadullahi Salihin wa ala Ibadillahi Salihin, and especially the servants who are pious. In the Arabic language, we would call this, subhanallah, a motivational technique. What is it called? A motivational technique, a motivational system that is also there in the Arabic language. And so what Allah is teaching us in Tashahud, Allah wants us to be motivated. That imagine this, don't just stay in the same line, in the same category all your life, but progress to a higher rank. See, when a person is working, after 5-10 years, he might want to become a manager. He might want to become a manager in a higher post, a higher post, a higher post. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, from just being a believer, promote yourself. Promote yourself to that category where you can be labeled as a pious servant of Allah, that your description becomes that you are a salih, you are a muttaqi individual. Now imagine that all the people of the world who read tashahhud are all making dua for that person who is pious. Isn't it? When we read tashahhud, we are saying salamati be upon the pious people of this ummah. And this is a form of motivation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, that move and promote yourself. Subhanallah. If you're wearing a shirt all the time, then try wearing a kurta one day, bhai. 7 days a week you've got your shirt on, your tie on, your trousers on. Then at least try to put on one day the sunnah. Enjoy that sunnah, even if it means for one day, enjoy it. You've been using your toothbrush all the time. Make amal on sunnah once at least in your life, enjoy it. Promote yourself. Go out there and buy a miswak for £1.50, whatever. Promote yourself to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And this is how you build yourself. That okay, you are in the habit of just reading your farz namaz, no problem. Let a time come that you promote yourself. Now let me start also reading my sunan mu'akkad. My sunan that is mu'akkad. Then let me read my sunan that is ghair mu'akkad. Then let me read extra nawafil. So by the time you age 40, 50, 55, 60, bi-iznillah, bi-tawfiqillah, you have accumulated a lot of good deeds. And this is what Allah is telling us, the fundamental message in this, wa'ala ibadillahi salihin, that when will you stand up, when will you rise, when will you promote yourself? When will you do this? And this is something that is very, very important. Subhanallah al-Azim. Every month to think that by, what is my situation now? You know, we look at our bank balance every month, salary comes, oh, this much, this much, this much. All of a sudden, it's double the figure. Huh? Kawa. MashaAllah, he gets happy. I won't tell nobody. Maybe it's, you know, some mistake. Mauli sahab ko bhi nahi puchunga. Forget it. You know, it's direct debit. They gave it. Allah jaane. I'll close my eyes. All of a sudden, double figures, triple figures. Person becomes so happy. And what about in your a'mal saliha? What about in your good deeds? Compete, really compete. MashaAllah. Be motivated, be ready. If you're reading 4 rukus per day, increase it, make it 5 rukus. Let that go on. If you are never reading tahajjud, never reading tahajjud, by once in a month, be prepared and say, Allah Pak, I am weak, I am working, but once in a month I will wake up for tahajjud salah. How beautiful is that? Everyone is sleeping once in a month. You make, you know, your connection with Allah and you're reading tahajjud salah. And this is the meaning of wa'ala ibadillahi salihin. It's a motivational technique that is used in tashahud. Otherwise, generally, the entire ummah has been included in the word As-salamu alayna. So understand the meaning. When we say As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, it means that we are now sending salam upon our beloved Nabi. But how we are sending salam to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? In a very higher form. That salam be upon you, mercy be upon you, blessings be upon you. And so we are taught that when we greet our brothers, we don't just say as-salam, we say as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, the complete package. And then now thereafter we come towards really the important, most important part of tashahud. Wa ala ibadillahi salihin. And then now the shahadat takes place. So what do we say? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Let's stop here. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. The word ashhadu in the Arabic language means I testify. What does it mean? I testify. The root word of ashhadu comes from the word shahida. And shahida means to witness something. To witness something. That is why when a person becomes a martyr, when he is doing jihad fi sabilillah and he becomes a martyr, he becomes a shaheed. He becomes a... Now even other people that are not of the Muslim community use this terminology as shaheed, which I really don't understand. That I don't understand until now. But this terminology of shaheed and shahadat is exclusively for the people of Iman. But people borrow it, khair. Allah give everybody hidayat. When a person becomes a shaheed, why is he called a shaheed, not a mayyit or a marhum? Because of the honor. Shaheed means to witness something, and there are two things that Allah gives him the opportunity to witness. The first thing he witnesses is the group of the malaika, the angels that surround him. So he is a shaheed, but Allah shows him the malaika that surround him. Allah shows him the malaika that surround him. And secondly, shaheed also means to see or to witness that as this person becomes shaheed, immediately the malaika open up his residence for him in Jannah, and Allah shows him his place in Jannah. And so that is why a person is actually called shaheed, to testify, to see. And so when we say ashhadu, it means that I testify, ashhadu, I testify, Allah ilaha illallah. Now remember, if you look at the word al, it's actually written as an. How is it written as? An. And then you have a la. An, and then a la. Just like you have the la that's written on top here, the declaration of faith, the lam and the alif. Now the lam and alif in the Arabic grammar, it's called la nafi jins. La nafi jins, which means a complete form of negation. A complete form of, which actually means that absolutely, positively, no. What does it mean? Absolutely, positively, no. And la gives an emphasis. La gives an emphasis. It's la nafi jins. You have different laws in the Arabic language. This is la nafi jins. Absolutely negating every single thing. And so what you are saying is that I testify that there is nothing worthy, none is worthy, absolutely, absolutely, there is nothing worthy of worship, illallah, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the first part. And then thereafter, we come to the risalat. We come to the risalat. And then what do we say? Wa ashhadu وأشهد. What do we say? Say it. وأشهد أن. أن. Remember this. وأشهد أن. In the first segment, what did we say? أن. What did we say? أن. In the second segment, we are saying أن. 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 When it came to Allah, we use the word أن. When it comes to Risalat, we use the word أن. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Again, the same translation. And we testify. اور ہم گواہی دیتے ہیں. اور ہم گواہی دیتے ہیں. And we testify. And we testify that Muhammad, أن محمدا, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abduhu is his slave, wa rasulu, and his messenger. And his messenger. Now, what is the difference between the first segment and the second segment? In reality, if we look at the Arabic grammar, anna is stronger than the word an. What is it? Anna is stronger than the word an. So when it comes to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we use the word anna, which is therefore emphasis, which is stronger than the word an. Why is anna used in the second segment and unused in the first segment? Why? Because in reference to Allah, with the word an, there is another word that talks and covers off emphasis, and that is the word la. What is there? La. So because of la, that la is also there to emphasize, there is no need for anna and la to be together. There is no need for anna and la to be together, because the emphasis already comes in the form of la. But in the case of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't find a la there. And therefore without the la, there is another form of emphasis by giving it a tashdeed and by saying anna. That is the power of the Arabic grammar. Subhanallah, absolutely magical, beautiful language. And so this is what it means, anna. What does it mean? It gives you an emphasis. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan. Now, why do we have a special mentioning of the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here? Very simple. Just in case you might find someone who comes to you, and I've had people personally, and they'll say to me, oh, I can believe in the oneness of God. I can believe in the oneness of God, that there is one creator that has created everything, but I reject the messengership or the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in tashahud, there is a reminder that even if you believe in tawheed and if you reject risalat, that is still incomplete and you have not entered the fold of Iman and Islam. You have not entered the fold of Iman and Islam. Not in this world, certainly. For a person to embrace Islam, it means total submission. Total submission. And this total submission, pura jugjana, this total submission comes in the form of tawheed and risalat. It comes in accepting the oneness of Allah and in the messengership of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You understand that, brothers? So that is why in tashahud we have ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Now, when we look at the descriptive names that are given in tashahud to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that the words that have been used is abd. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave. What is it? And that is the translation. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his. Now that is a very powerful statement. What is it? It's a very, very powerful statement. The reason why this statement is very, very powerful, because to describe Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is Imamul Anbiya, the greatest of human beings, the greatest of the creation of Allah, the leader of all the prophets, the leader of all humanity and the creation of Allah. This tells you how supreme and how powerful Allah is. And so by using the word abd, Allah is saying how powerful I am. That Allah is the most powerful, that there is nothing before Allah, there is nothing after Allah. Allah has no family ties. Allah has no family ties. He is one and only one, and that He is a samad. He is so independent that He needs no prophets, He needs no angels, He needs no one in His creation, because He Himself is self-sufficient. So that is why Allah describes Himself in such a powerful way, that He calls the greatest Nabi, that even Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah's Nabi went to sajda and he also said Subhana Rabbi al-A'la and Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. He also said that Subhana Rabbi al-A'la and Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And look at the humility of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he conquered the city of Makkah Mukarrama. When he conquered the city of Makkah Mukarrama, generally a person who is a fatih, who enters a city being a great conqueror, he will show off and he will do zulm and oppress the people and do all sorts. How humble Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, that he enters the city of Makkah Mukarrama, that his head is so low down, like we are in ruku, touching the neck of the animal that he is sitting on, like this. That if this victory is given, it's only the mercy of Allah. Ajeeb, Allahu Akbar. Look how humble he was, that he enters Makkah in this way. And then as he enters, he's saying, La ilaha illallah wahda, La ilaha illallah wahda, sadaqa wa'da, nasara abda. Subhanallah. He says, none is worthy of worship except Allah alone, wahda. Sadaqa wa'da. Allah who fulfilled his promise when Allah said to me, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubeena. Allah fulfilled His promise. Sadaqa wa'da, nasara abda. And look at the translation. Look at the words that He is describing Himself. Nasara abdahu means that Allah helped His slave. And that He helped His slave. Nasara abdahu means, and that He helped His slave. Calling Himself as a fatih, as a conqueror, entering Makkah, he's saying, Allah helped his slave. Allah helped. This is humility. This is tawazu. Subhanallah. That is the greatness of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salin. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu. What is the meaning of wa rasulu? Rasul means the messenger of Allah. What does it mean? The messenger of Allah. Now we are not here doing the tafsir of the Quran, so you don't require me to explain to you the difference between a Nabi and a Rasul. But just to give you a general understanding, the difference between Rasul and a Nabi. If you look into the Quran, the Kalam of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has titled His Nabi as Nabi in relation to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's communication with the people. So when he was speaking with the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala titled him with the word Nabi. So for an example, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, jahidil kuffara wal munafiqin. Jahidil kuffara wal munafiqin. Or for an example, يا أيها النبي كل أزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين. So when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke with the masses, with the people, then generally the title of Nabi was mentioned in the Quran to describe him. But in reference to the direct name of Allah or in reference to revelation, then the word Rasul has been used in the Quran. So for an example, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. And so that is the difference between Rasul and a Nabi. And as for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we've given the explanation of a Nabi in the previous session. And so Allah's Nabi was a Rasul and Allah's Nabi is also a Nabi. Now, we must also observe one thing which is very important, that in Tashahud, specifically the name Muhammad has been mentioned. Specifically, the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been mentioned. So 5 times a day we are praying. We start off with Allahu Akbar. And in our salah, we also take the name of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the testification when we say, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Now, Muhammad is a very unique name. Very unique name. Allama Qastalani rahmatullah alayhi says that this name was actually reserved for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi says that there were certain individuals that even before the coming of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, some had named their children Muhammad. Even before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, the reason for that is, this was not a popular name in Arabia at that time. Those that had given their names as Muhammad to their children was in anticipation that possibly these were the people who had some understanding of the scriptures, And in the scriptures also, the name of the last Nabi has been mentioned. The name of the last Nabi has been mentioned. Specifically Muhammad and Ahmad. We see in the Quran that the name Ahmad is also mentioned in Surah Saf. And this is a testimony that comes from Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ. And he gave glad tidings to the people. يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِي. That after me shall come a Nabi, ismuhu Ahmad, that his name will be. So people were quite familiar. Well, there is a man who's going to come, whose name will be Muhammad, Ahmad, Muhammad, Ahmad. So this was the name. And so some people, perhaps they thought that maybe, who knows, if I name my child Muhammad, he might be the one, the great one. And so a few names were out there in Arabia that were named as Muhammad only. But the truth is, as Allama Qastalani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, that this name has been exclusively reserved for who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now Muhammad is a powerful name. It comes from the Arabic scale Babe Taf'il. Babe Taf'il. From the scale which is of Taf'il. And one of the features of this scale, Taf'il, is that it's got an element of excessiveness. It covers an element of excessiveness. So Hammada means to praise someone, and the word Muhammad means someone who is excessively praised. Someone who is excessively praised. And that is why in the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the companions, some of the kuffar, the mushrikeen, were making al-iyadhu billah a mockery out of the name of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, why do you panic? Why do you worry? Don't you know that Allah has given me the name Muhammad? They have no choice but to praise me when they take my name. Even if they don't believe in me, when they say Muhammad did that, or Muhammad is this, Muhammad that, it means that I am praising him excessively. What does it mean? So a man who is excessively praised, this is a name that is chosen for his beloved Nabi. Subhanallah al-Azim. And so how many times does the word Muhammad come in the Quran, brothers? me scan the audience. How many times Muhammad comes in the Quran? Come on, come on, come on. Wait. Before we... Wait. Brother, did you lift up your hands? Yeah. MashaAllah. Indeed. Jazakallah khair. And this is something to take back. In the Quran, the name Muhammad comes how many times? Specifically the name Muhammad comes 4 times. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولُ مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. So these are the 4 ayat in Surah Muhammad. The name Muhammad is also mentioned. And then the 5th name is Ahmad, which is also mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Saf. Now, 5 times the name of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been mentioned. 4 as Muhammad and 1 as Ahmad. One thing we have to understand, my respected brothers, that the relationship and the status of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is completely different in comparison to the other messengers. If you look into the Quran, at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has directly addressed the prophets with their names. Allah has said in the Quran, Ya Adam, O Adam. Allah says, Ya Nuh, Ya Musa, Ya Zakariya, Ya Ibrahim. Ya Nuh. And so many prophets have been mentioned in the Quran by their names. Address them directly. But nowhere in the Quran has Allah addressed His Nabi directly. And that is to teach the Ummah to respect their Nabi. To respect their Nabi. Now generally, you know, if someone is of great honor, or even if somebody is a doctor, you might say Dr. Saab, out of respect. Dr. Saab, Mauli Saab, Hafiz Saab, Qadi Saab, Abbaji, you know, will you say to Abbaji, my dad's name is, for example, whatever it is, take his name, take your mom's name. Aajkal to fashion. Nowadays, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, you'll see that kids take their father's name and mother's name and tawbah. So, any man of great worth is always known by his titles. But Allah, when speaking to His prophets, Allah has all the power to speak how He wants. And so Allah calls them by their names. O Musa, O Harun, O Zakariya, O Nuh. But Allah's Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is at a different level altogether. Never in the Quran does Allah speak to Rasulullah by his name, but the titles only, Ya Ayyuhan Nabi or Ya Ayyuhan Rasul. Only as Ya Ayyuhan Nabi or Ya Ayyuhan Rasul. Now the names Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that have been mentioned in the Quran, they are, Allah speaks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah is talking about him, but Allah is not addressing him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not addressing him. That is the lofty status that is given to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And just to clarify one important masala, just a few more minutes. When we say about, when we read the tashahud and when we say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, that peace be upon you, O our beloved Prophet. Some deviant sect say that, you see, ayyuhan nabi means Ya Rasulullah. And so he is Hazir Nazir, are bhai. There's nothing mentioned here about Hazir Nazir or being omnipresent. Nothing of the sort. In fact, in the entire Quran, the word Ya Muhammad does not come. Have you seen Ya Muhammad in the Quran? Out of respect and out of adab, Allah has never called His Nabi Ya Muhammad. Never. That is why the scholars agree that the best durood that you have to read is in which first the name of Allah is mentioned. Because we are sinful people, what we are saying, O Allah, you send your mercy and salutations upon our beloved Nabi. So we are telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we are sinful people, that is adab. What is it? That is adab. Piyasa kuwe ke paas jata hai. Kuwa piyasa ke paas se aata hai bhai. Subhanallah al-Azim. And so we need to understand that. Otherwise, in the Quran, Allah has also referred the word ya to the kuffar. So how will the kuffar hazir nazir? Allah says, kul. Kul. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. The word ya comes for the kuffar. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. Say it, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O you people who disbelieve. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. It's understood. Now some of the scholars, so we understand that this is part of Aqeedah. What we also need to understand that when it comes to At-Tahiyyat, some of the scholars have mentioned that this Tashahud is actually a conversation between Allah and His Messenger, and it covers the Mi'raj. It covers the Mi'raj. But in reality, there is no sanad of this. There is no sanad of this. It's not actually mentioned in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. However, there are certain scholars that have said this, but there is no sanad of this. So we need to understand that this is not something that is authenticated. But some of the scholars have mentioned this, that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to Mi'raj, he praised Allah with the words At-Tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat, and to that Allah said As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, salam be on you O my Nabi, because Allah's Nabi was there in Mi'raj. Salamati be on you O Nabi. And then at that time Rasulullah remembered his ummah and he said As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. And of course in the heavens Jibreel Amin heard this communication, and then he said Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best. But this is something that some of the scholars have mentioned. But alhamdulillah, understanding the message of tashahud is very, very important. So when we read tashahud, mashallah, have this istihzar. Make sure that the translation is present and you understand when you read tashahud. Slowly this will give you the motivation and this will slowly bring in devotion and khushu' in your salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-'afwa wal 'afiyata fid dunya wal akhirah. Allah kareem, hum miskeen hai, gunahgar hai. Allah teri zaat paak hai. Allah tu be niyaz hai. Allah tujhe kisi ki zarurat nahi hai. Ya Allah puri makhlooq ya Allah teri taraf muhtaj hai. Allah beshak teri zaat samad hai. Allah tu kareem hai, Allah tu hannan hai, mannan hai. Allah rahm farma, karam farma. Allah hamari maghfirat farma de. Allah hamari maghfirat farma de. Allah hame taufeeq de aisi namaz hum pare ya Allah ki us namaz ko ya Allah tu qabool kar le. Ya Rahman ya Rahim, hamari namaz aisi ho ya Allah jaise ke Quran Kareem mein jo shaan bayan ki gayi hai namaz ki, کہ وہ خشوع والی ہو خضوع والی ہو. یا اللہ ہمیں وہ عبادت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ جو بیمار ہے ان کو شفا دے. یا اللہ جس کی جو پریشانی ہے اس پریشانی کو دور فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وازواجہ وذریاتہ واہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.